All right, did everybody get a paper? Anybody in the back missing a paper or anything? We may not have had enough paper for the kids all in front here, but I want to make sure at least all the adults and everybody got papers. All right, good. Very good. All right. Well, let's open up to the book of Proverbs, this evening, as getting back into our scripture snapshots. I always look forward to missions conference and excited about it happening, and then it just seems like it's just over like that. But it was a great conference, and we thank the Lord for the missionaries that we're able to have here, and hope you'll continue praying for them. But looking forward to getting back to our scripture snapshots here. So just a couple, not so many fun facts here, but obviously the book of Proverbs is all about Proverbs. Not sure if you recognize that or not, but it's about Proverbs. But it's kind of interesting how Proverbs have all, you know, Proverbs, not the book of Proverbs, but Proverbs have always been kind of a cultural thing. Just a couple Proverbs I found. Again, just because something is a proverb, you know, doesn't mean it's always right. I'm not talking about the book of Proverbs. I'm talking about just Proverbs in general. How many of you ever heard of the proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single
step,
right? Now, you're never going to go 1,000 miles if you don't take that first step, right? How about this one? This is an Egyptian proverb. Whoever lets himself be led by the heart will never lose his way. I don't know if I agree with that one. Like I said, not all proverbs are, you know, accurate, right? Here's an old Chinese proverb. An inch of time cannot be bought with an inch of gold. That's a good one. An inch of time cannot be bought with an inch of gold, right? How about this one? This is an Arabic proverb. Paradise without people is not worth living in. That's interesting, right? It's always good to have some other people. Kind of leads into this African proverb. If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk with others. Some thoughts behind that, right? That's good. If you want to walk fast, don't walk with me. I am not a fast walker, right? My wife says, let's go on a walk. I'm like, I'm not jogging, babe. She's like, no, we're going to go on a walk. Your walk is my jog. That's pretty sad, right? Some of you, Jay, don't even go there. Don't even do it. No. I know. All right. So the next three books we're going to be looking at are obviously Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. These are all written by David's son Solomon. Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs here. Of course, as we kind of mentioned, Proverbs have always been important throughout history. Not just the book of Proverbs, but Proverbs in general, ancient sayings and things like that have always been important throughout history. Why do you think Proverbs have been so important throughout history in ancient times? Again, not referring to the book of Proverbs, just Proverbs in general. Why do we have African Proverbs and Chinese Proverbs and Arab Proverbs and Indian Proverbs? And why are they so important? Anybody want to take a stab? Why are they important? What's that? To teach people? Okay, all right. What else? Yes, Miss Patty? Yeah, so a lot of them existed before, you know, written format and things like this, okay? There were very few books. Books were expensive, right? People didn't have books like what we have today. They didn't have paper and ink and things like that. And so Proverbs were kind of clear, concise, and they were kind of easy to remember, right? They were kind of easy to remember. They're not super long ones. They're just kind of short little sayings to try to help people to remember things. Again, if you want to walk fast, walk. If you want to walk far, walk with others. See, I said that one time before and you already picked it up, right? They're just short, easy things to pick up, okay? Now, obviously, the book of Proverbs is not just ancient Proverbs, right? The book of Proverbs is much more than that. Obviously, it's part of Scripture. A proverb, just kind of going, looking at our overview, and I apologize, I'm not going to go exactly in order tonight. And by the way, if you notice, there is a front and back. I couldn't get it all on one side, so there is a front and back there if you hadn't seen that already. But just kind of looking at the overview, a proverb is a short sentence expressing in a few words a well-known truth given in an easy way to remember, right? That's what a proverb is. It's something short, okay? It's given in a way to try to remember, okay? That's what the proverbs are. Solomon, in his time of reigning, and how many remember how long Solomon reigned? How many years did Solomon reign as king? But remember, Ms. Terry? No, how many years did he reign as king? How many years did Solomon reign as king? Anybody remember? Michael?
30.
No. Jude? How about we split the difference there? 40. There we go. 40. Right? Solomon reigned 40 years. So it's interesting. Saul reigned 40 years. David reigned 40 years. Solomon reigned 40 years. Okay. And so Solomon, in his 40 years of reigning, Solomon actually gave over 3,000 proverbs. There's over 3,000 proverbs that he gave. In fact, 1 Kings 4:32 tells us that he gave over 3,000 proverbs. About 800 of them are in the book of Proverbs. Now, again, not all of these that we're going to see, but from chapters 10 to 19 and chapters 25 through 26 are the proverbs that Solomon of those 800 proverbs that he's given, okay? So think about that. In about, what is that, about 12 chapters, we have hundreds of proverbs that Solomon gave, okay? So the book of Proverbs is not like a, it's not like a book that's telling history of Israel or anything. It's not a historical book. There's not really even kind of like a timeline that it follows. These are just proverbs that were given that we find put into Scripture here. In chapter 1, verses 6 through chapter 9, and then chapters 19 through 20, we find the words of the wise that were taught to Solomon. So there are some proverbs that we find here that were actually taught to Solomon that he shares with us, okay, that his teachers taught. There's a proverb by Aguar and also one given by Lemuel. There's a book of Proverbs that is given by King Lemuel, though it is actually his mother's teaching that he tells us of. King Lemuel is the one that gives it to us, but he's basically recounting the teachings of his mother. And we'll get to that. Anyway, anybody know which chapter that might be? Very good. It's Proverbs 31, right? We'll get to that here in a little bit. I want you to notice a couple of keys, though, in the book of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is not a historical book and like telling the history of Israel, but there are some keys to help us really understand the book of Proverbs here, right? The key verse is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay? So think about this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so obviously we understand that the book of Proverbs is a book also of wisdom, but God says very clearly, if we want to know wisdom, if we want knowledge, that comes by fearing God, okay? In fact, the phrase, the fear of the Lord, is found 14 different times in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this, okay? So if we think about kind of the thought of Proverbs here, it is only a man who fears the Lord can truly be a wise man. Only someone who's fearing God and following God and listening to God, and we're going to see how that plays out here in just a minute, but only a person who follows and listens to God is someone who can truly be considered a wise man, okay? Now, What's interesting, and we'll get into this not so much tonight, but probably in a couple weeks when we look at Solomon's other books, we know that Solomon was given great wisdom. And we would say Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. The problem was Solomon was not a wise man. He was given wisdom by God, but the problem was he did not follow wisdom. And we're going to see again, and some of these things, you're like, what? I thought Solomon was the wisest man. And Solomon did not follow wisdom. In fact, some of the own advice that he receives and some of the advice that he gives, he did not even follow himself. And so we'll see some of these things that we go through these different books, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, okay? But the theme of the book is, these are, we could say, laws from heaven for life on earth. They're laws from heaven. God is giving us these things and how we are to live on earth, okay? It is a book of divine wisdom for our daily life, okay? Now, here's the thing we have to understand. Just for example, look over with me to chapter 15. Look in chapter 15, okay? The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. God is trying to give us his wisdom. He's showing us his wisdom, okay? Again, this is God's wisdom, not Solomon's. It's God's wisdom being given through Solomon to man. But here's the thing we have to understand. Sometimes we look at the proverb and we think that the proverb, you know, is absolute, okay? But look in Proverbs chapter 15. Again, just for an example. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay? So here is God's wisdom. God says to give a soft answer to turn away wrath, right? Somebody is upset. Somebody is angry. To try to turn away that wrath, you don't respond in anger. You don't respond in the same manner. He says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, right? The more you yell back, the more you fight back, the more the other person is going to yell and fight back, the more you yell and fight back. But let me ask you a question. If you've ever had someone yelling at you or whatever, and you tried to answer in a soft manner, does it always turn away wrath? Doesn't always turn away wrath, right? Well, then we can't trust the word of God. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying if you will do this, that this is going to happen every single time, okay? Another example is, again, this is many times taken wrongly, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Oh, see, if you train up your child, he'll never stray. Wait a minute, hold on. Just like a soft answer turneth away wrath is the right thing to do, it's wisdom from God. It doesn't mean that every time you answer softly that somebody's just going to be like, oh, thank you for answering softly. My wrath is now calm. It's not going to happen every time, right? And in the same manner, you know, again, some people say, oh, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. So therefore, if I train my child up, he'll never stray from God. Doesn't mean that. The concept is there. The principle, the wisdom is there. But it's not just, this is a guarantee, okay? So we have to understand what the Proverbs are, right? This is God giving us wisdom in how we are to live here, right? Because think about this, and I'm gonna overlap a lot here in the things that I say just because of how this book is, but wisdom is who? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is wisdom, right? Now, did Jesus give a soft answer when people were upset with him? Yes, he did. And did it turn away their wrath? No, they crucified him. Right? They crucified him. He gave a soft answer. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's what Scripture tells us, right? They still crucified him, okay? So we have to understand the Proverbs here is showing us how God wants us to live. Wisdom personified in Jesus Christ, right? And how he wants us to live here on the earth, okay? But that doesn't mean when we do these things that it's automatically going to be like, okay, now my children are never going to stray. Okay, now I'm never going to get into an argument because I've had a soft answer. No, we've got to understand this is the wisdom of God and how he wants us to live. But guess what the problem is? What kind of world do we live in? We live in a sinful world, okay? And even when you respond the right way, it doesn't mean the other person is going to respond in the right way, okay? So again, we've got to kind of understand what these Proverbs are. It is a book of divine wisdom for how God wants us to walk in our daily life. It truly is, right? And by the way, it's funny because I was just in our co-op, I'm teaching through the book of Proverbs, and what's really amazing, I challenged some of the young people at the beginning of our homeschool co-op year. I challenged some of them to write the entire book of Proverbs. Now, I gave them like 9 months to do it, okay? All right, so we started in September. I told them, I think by the end of April, or I think first of May or something is when our co-op ends. And so I said, if you can write the book of Proverbs in that time period, I'll have something special for you. And they didn't have to do it. This is not, co-op's not graded or anything like that. But I was actually surprised. There's a number of students, number of young people that are actually writing the book of Proverbs out. And that's awesome. In fact, one young lady, and I have to say she was from our church, actually, before our co-op even ended this semester, handed me the paper and said, here's the book of Proverbs. I thought, you got to be kidding me. I was like, did you like just write a proverb and then like blah, 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 blah. And then like, I looked through it. Nope, the whole book of Proverbs. She wrote the whole book of Proverbs out. That's pretty awesome, right? I'm excited about that. But it's a book of wisdom for our daily walk. Where Psalms, we talked about Psalms, deals with worship. We talked about how it is dealing with worship and praise. Proverbs deals with our walk, that daily walk, okay? Psalms is more devotional. Proverbs is the practical. It's the practical aspects of things, okay? In Psalms, we see a Christian on his knees in prayer and in praise. In Proverbs, we see a Christian on his feet, his walk, dealing with how God wants us to live our life out, okay? Now, I'm going to skip over the structure of the book here for a minute, and I want to go down to the notable characters. Now, when we think about the notable characters, we might think of, well, Solomon or Lemuel or Agur. Right? No. Those are not the notable characters in the book of Proverbs. Those are some that God used to write these things down, but they're not the notable characters throughout the book. There are four primary characters that we find throughout the book of Proverbs, okay? Four very interesting characters that we find in the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to give you all four, but then we're going to talk about them a little bit. The first one we find is the fool. The second one is the simple. The third one is the scorner. And the fourth one is the wise man. These are the four notable characters that we find in the book of Proverbs. In fact, if we look right here in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse number 22, we find really what we would say the first negative three, right? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Well, let's just go up to verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Notice we find all three of them right here in the opening chapter of Proverbs. There's the fool, there's the scorner, there's the simple, okay? But yet wisdom is trying to cry out to the wise, those who will be wise, those who will listen. So what are these three characters? Let me just take a step back here. Again, understanding what Proverbs is so vital. You see, there's a passage in the book of Psalms. I can't remember right off the top of my head. Don't worry about it. But it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, again, many times we think about this, we think, oh, this is an atheist, right? This is an atheist who says there is no God. I don't believe so, because what happens is sin reduces every one of us to fools. Sin reduces us all to fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, is not speaking of, it's not so much religiously or philosophically. But the fool that is saying in his heart, there is no God, is basically living as if we're self-sufficient human beings. We know everything there is to know in order to live the way I should, and therefore I don't need God. We don't need God, right? By the way, that's when you look at these three characters, fool, the scorner, and the simple, they have no need for God. They have no desire for God, okay? It is the wise person that recognizes that they are a sinner. A wise person recognizes their sinful condition and their need of God, okay? And so again, as we think about this, the book of Proverbs is designed to rescue you from you. That's what Proverbs is doing. As God is giving us his wisdom through the book of Proverbs, he's trying to rescue us from ourselves. And God is going to, he pours out his wisdom in Proverbs, things that we would never be able to know unless God reveals them to us. And he reveals them to us because he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to see that we are in need. Let's be honest. Before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, before that was their understanding, we didn't need God. We had it all figured out. We had our life. We had our plans. Everything was all about us. We were the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. I don't need God. I've got it all figured out myself. I can do it my way. Until someone, through the word of God, shows us that we are a sinner and that we cannot do it ourselves and that we need a Savior. And then we recognize Jesus Christ is the one that we need and we put our faith and trust in him. And so the book of Proverbs is God's wisdom trying to help us to see who we are, to see who he is, and to choose to follow him instead of following us. Okay? So it's not just a book of a bunch of just different old proverbs and ancient wisdom and things like this. No. This is God's wisdom being revealed to us. And this is why the book of Proverbs is such a rich book. It's such an amazing book. Many times, if you think about it, sometimes I know people will take a proverb and they'll read a proverb a day because there's 31 chapters and many months have 31 days in it. So they'll read a chapter a day, which is great. But there's just so much in the book of Proverbs. And again, we're not going to be able to even get to an ounce of it tonight. I mean, it's so full, right? Let's look at the fool really quick. The fool, chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's what we're going to do, right? Young people, you're going to have to answer this question. Which one of these four are you tonight? Teenagers, you're going to have to answer this question. Which one of these four am I? Adults, we're going to have to answer this question. Which one of these four am I? As we look through here, there's only four. We're one of them. The question is, which one are we? The fool hath said, watch what he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool hates instruction. The fool talks without thinking. The fool cannot be instructed. They cannot be told anything. They think they know it all. They don't need anybody telling them. In fact, the fool makes a mock at sin. Look over in chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse number 9. Chapter 14, verse number 9. He says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Right? God says a fool is going to be one who mocks sin. Somebody who doesn't think sin is a big deal. Man, hey, parents, you know, hey, we're supposed to, our children are supposed to obey. Our children don't care. They don't care. You say, as we're going through here, you know, what are we going to follow? Are we going to listen to what God says? Or are we going to just say, hey, I don't need my parents telling me what to do. I don't need teachers telling me what to do. I don't need the pastor telling me what to do. I can do it. I don't need anybody. You know what we're saying? We're a fool. That's what God is saying. You are a fool. The fool hates instruction. They just think they know everything. They talk without thinking. They make a mock at sin. That's the fool, okay? The simple, the simple, again, there in chapter 1, verse number 22, he says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The simple, and we don't have time to look at all these verses, so I'm just going to kind of be brief with them. But the simple believes everything and everyone, right? They just believe anything. You know, somebody tells them that, you know, there's aliens coming from space, they'll believe it. Somebody says, hey, you know, the sky outside is actually green, it's not blue, they'll believe it, right? I mean, they just believe everything. They believe anything, right? They're easily led astray because they lack understanding. They're just going to believe anyone and everyone. In fact, they don't look ahead to see that there's trouble, and ends up they're always in trouble because they're not discerning. They're not discerning to look ahead, right? This is the simple one, the simple one. And then, of course, the scorner, again, the scorner makes a mock at wisdom. Just as the fool mocks at sin, the scorner mocks at wisdom. I don't need God telling me what to do. I don't need to learn anything from God. I don't need God in my life. I can do this all on my own, right? The scorner feels like they know everything. They never profit from rebuke. When you try to instruct a scorner, it's like beating your head against a wall. They're not going to listen because they don't need you. They're not going to follow what you say because they know a better way. That's the scorner. They're not willing to be instructed, right? They're not willing to be taught, okay? So we have the fool, we have the simple, we have the scorner, but then we have the wise man. The wise man, the Bible says, listens to instruction. In verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So think about it. He says he listens to instruction. He obeys what he hears. There's a desire to learn. There's a desire to grow. They don't think they know everything. They're willing to be taught. They're willing to be reproved, okay? There's instruction that is able to be given to them. They flee from sin. They're careful in what they say. They're diligent in their daily work, in their hard working, right? That's the wise man, okay? And so as you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll see many times he'll talk about the fool, many times he'll talk about the simple, the scorner, right? But ultimately he's trying to bring us back and say, hey, if you truly want wisdom, if you truly want knowledge, it comes from the fear of the Lord. You have to be willing to allow the Lord to instruct you. You have to be willing to get in God's word and let God's wisdom guide you in what you need to do and how you need to live. If we're not willing to listen to God, then we are just like these three. We're like the fool, the simple, and the scorner. I don't need God. I'll do it myself. I'll figure it out on my own. I'm not gonna listen to God. I'm not gonna do what God says. But the wise man will understand, hey, I don't know it all. And I need God in my life, and I need instruction. And when there is wise counsel, I'm gonna listen to wise counsel. I'm not just gonna brush it off and be like, hey, who do they think they are telling me what I should do? And who do they think they are giving me reproof? No, they're gonna listen. A wise person, it doesn't matter if it's a teenager, doesn't matter if it's a young person, an older person, they're gonna listen. In fact, I told our co-op class, wisdom is not based on age. Wisdom. Now, experience can be based on age, right? The older a person is, the more experience they might have. But wisdom is not based on age. I know many people who are older in years who are very unwise. Why? Because they're not listening to God. They're not following God. But yet, I know some teenagers that I would say are wise. None of ours, but you know. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. You see, it's not about age. That's not where it's not about, you know, well, hey, when I get to be this age, then I'll be wise. No. Wisdom comes from God. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He said, look, wisdom is not based upon age. Wisdom is based upon your yielding to God and his spirit and allowing him to lead you and to instruct you in the way he wants you to go. I'm gonna be very honest, right? There is a lot of foolish Christians. There's a lot of simple Christians. There's a lot of scorning Christians. But what we need is wise Christians. We need wise Christians who will listen to what God says and say, hey, I want to follow God. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, go back up with me to the structure of the book. Again, there's just so much in the book of Proverbs. There's just no way we can get to it all tonight. So I'm just going to kind of briefly go through this. I'll stop at a couple things. But the introduction to the book is here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, really that, or 1 through 6. That's kind of the introduction to the book of Proverbs, what the purpose is, what the desired result is, right? Again, look in verse number 2. We'll just start in verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, what? To know wisdom and instruction. Here's why he's giving this: to know wisdom, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So here's what he's trying to do. He's giving wisdom. He's trying to help us to see the result of studying this book and living by this book is to get wisdom and discretion and justice and judgment and equity. God says, this is what you can get if you'll follow the instructions of the book here. In chapters 1, verses 7, all the way through chapter 9, verses 18, these are Proverbs for Solomon. They're for Solomon. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, look what it says in verse number 8. What is it? What are those first two words in verse number 8? My son, right? My son. These are Proverbs for Solomon, right? There are 14, if you want to call them lectures or passages or whatever, but each of them are introduced by this phrase, my son, my son, my son, my son. And so there's Proverbs that are here. In chapters 10, verses 1 through chapter 19, these are Proverbs by Solomon. Again, we talked about how he gave over 800 Proverbs. These are not using second person, but third person, he, him, his, they, all throughout these Proverbs. And then, of course, again, there's Proverbs for Solomon again. Again, we find in these, from chapter 19, verse 20 through chapter 24, there's another 6 lectures or passages where, again, they're introduced by the phrase, my son, my son, my son, right? So just for example, here in chapter 1, right, verse number 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So here's some wisdom that God is giving to us, right? My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Now again, he's giving this wisdom to those that are still living in the home. So young people, he says, hey, if you're still living in home, guess what you need to do? You need to listen to your parents. So now you have a choice of one of these four. You can choose to be wise and listen to what God says and listen to your parents and obey your parents. Or you can choose to be a fool, say, I don't need my parents. You can choose to be a scorner. You can choose to be simple. The choice is yours. But he says, if you want wisdom, you'll follow what God says. If you want wisdom, you'll follow God. Again, think about what he says here, right? My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Look again in verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go into the pit. What's he saying? Hey, if you have quote unquote friends that are wanting you to go against God, if they're wanting you to sin and you know it's wrong, you know what he says? Don't give in. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not, right? Don't listen to them. Again, we're making a choice here. As we learn this wisdom from God, we're going to make a choice. Am I going to be wise and listen to what God says, or am I going to be a fool? Well, it won't hurt. It's not going to be a big deal. Nobody will know. My parents won't know. The pastor won't know. Nobody else will know. It'll be all right. Wait a minute. He doesn't say, do it if nobody's going to find out. No, he says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So you have all of these different proverbs that are given by Solomon here, okay? Of course, then in chapter 25 and 26, there are Proverbs by Solomon. These were actually copied by Hezekiah from the royal library. Chapters 27 through 29 begin with these formal introductions again with my son. Chapter 30 is the proverb of Agur. And then chapter 31 is really interesting. And I think I taught this in an institute class just a couple weeks ago. But Proverbs 31, many times, if you turn over there with me real quick to Proverbs 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, many times we think, well, this is the passage where ladies should go to find out how to be a virtuous woman, right? It's all about the virtuous woman. Ladies go to this passage, oh, this is the virtuous woman. Well, that's good. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but that's not why this passage was written. That's not why the passage was written. The passage is written to a man saying, this is what you should look for in a woman. If you want a godly wife, this is what you look for. Now, ladies, you can go to it and say, hey, if I want to be a godly lady, if I want to be a virtuous woman, this is what I need to, this is an example that he's given here. But the context is, and this is what he says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. This is King Lemuel, his mother teaching him what a godly woman is. It's a godly mother teaching her son, saying, hey, this is the type of woman you need to be looking for. This is the type of woman you want to be your wife, okay? He says, what my son and what the son of my womb, what the son of my vows. So she's giving this instruction to her son as he is growing and getting older, saying, hey, this is what you need to beware of. This is what you need to stay away from. This is what you need to look for, right? So again, ladies, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to Proverbs 31. You know, you talk about the Proverbs 31 woman and things like that. I get that, no problem there. And there's a lot of things there that you can learn from. But guys, specifically, this proverb is written to a man. It's given to a man to say, hey, this is what you ought to be looking for in a godly lady. This is what you ought to be looking for. And it gives, again, we're not going to go through the whole thing about the virtuous woman here, but this is it. Ladies, you want a godly husband? This is what you ought to be trying to do. You ought to be a godly lady, a virtuous woman, okay? And so he gives this wisdom here again. So this is both for a godly man looking for a godly lady, right? And it should be a godly lady wanting to live this way to be able to marry a godly man. Unfortunately, I wish our young people would understand, you know, it's important that you look for someone. And again, by the way, when I'm saying this, I'm talking about years down the road for you guys, okay? Years down the road, all right? You don't need to be looking right now, okay? Unless I know some of you are in college, you know, Brian, he's like, hey, what about me? I'm not a teenager anymore. Right, Michael, you know, hey, me. I know we've got some other college students that are back. I don't see him in here, but where's she at? Oh, there she is. Yeah, sorry. Okay, I'm going to get in big trouble now. Yeah, all right. Moving right along. don't look at me like that. Stop it. but saying, look, this is what I'm, what God says is the right person. Not what the world says is the right person, but this is what God says is the right person. What does God say a godly lady ought to be? What does God say a godly young man ought to be? And what should they be looking for in a young lady or a young man? Right? We have this, the world just says, oh, you know, if they're pretty or they look good or they got a great job or whatever. Look, that's not it, okay? And this is why, again, this is wisdom coming from God. God's wisdom given to us on how we are to live here, this life on this earth, okay? So again, we have to decide, are we going to listen to what God says, or are we just gonna do our own thing? I'm just gonna do my own thing? I don't need to listen to the pastor. I don't need to listen to my parents. I don't need to listen to my youth leader. I don't need to listen to anybody like that. I'm just gonna do my own thing. Or are we gonna listen to what God says? Listen to his word, okay? Now, just kind of finishing up here, and I might confuse you here in a little bit, and I apologize for that. Let me see. So when you go through, there are there are three types of parallels that we find here in the book of Proverbs. Okay, and I don't did I write this down? I don't think I wrote this down. Sorry. Now I'm really going to confuse you because it's not written down. But there are three types of parallels that are used here in the book of Proverbs. Okay. I'll just give them to you. I'll give them an example. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I do want you to kind of see how they're being used here in the book of Proverbs. The first one is what is called a synonymous parallelism. Okay, synonymous parallel. Okay, and it means the second statement is basically restating what has just been given in the first statement, okay? For example, look in chapter 19, verse 29. Chapter 19, verse 29. Again, just trying to give you an example of what this means. So this is a synonymous parallel, okay? Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools, okay? So again, the second clause is basically restating what is in the first part, okay? So judgments are prepared for scorners. Again, guess what we just found? One of our notable characters, right? And stripes for the back of fools. There's another one of our notable characters, right? So it's restating basically the same thing, okay? So it's a synonymous parallel, okay? Then you have what is called synthetic parallel, where the second clause is going to develop the thought of the first one. Okay, so it's going to kind of continue the thought. Look in chapter 20, we're right there. Chapter 20, verse number 2. He says, "The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul." Right? So here's the proverb. And again, notice all these proverbs, they're very short, right? But the fear of the king, fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. So there's the first clause, the first statement. But then the second, again, it goes on to define it more. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. In other words, if you provoke a king to anger, it's not going to be good for you, right? And that's basically what he says. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion, okay? So this is called a synthetic parallel. It develops the thought of the first clause there, okay? And then there's the third parallel, which is called an antithetic parallel, where the truth that is stated in the first one is made stronger in the second one, right? It's re-edified. It's made stronger, but it's contrasted with an opposite truth. There's a contrast that is here, right? So go to chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse number 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, right? The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out, right? So here's the first statement. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, right? Here's the truth that is being stated. But then the second clause really emphasizes that, but in the opposite way, right? So here's the opposite, right? The lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Okay, so there's a parallel that's going on here. So as you read through these things, many times you'll see all of these going through. And again, I'm not expecting you to get it right now, but I would, you know, if you write those down, or if you go back and listen to it and try to write it down, as you're going through, you can try to identify what he's saying. Is this re-emphasizing what he's just said? You know, what is the point of what he's saying here? Okay. And so again, when we look at Proverbs, the whole book is a book of wisdom. And if we'll follow it, right? God says we can be wise. We can live in a wise manner. Okay. Again, not so much talking about the world's wisdom. Okay. We're talking about God's wisdom. Okay. And as we go through here, so many of these different things going through the book of Proverbs, how God wants us to live. Okay. And again, doesn't mean that the world's just going to fall down and everything's just going to be perfect, right? No. But as we go through and as we follow what God says, God gives us more wisdom and he gives us more understanding and he gives us more knowledge. Okay. And as we are living that life the way God wants us to, right? And again, think about this. And I think one of the couple of the young people quoted it tonight. What does he say in Proverbs chapter 3? In verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but what does he say? Fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? So as we are trusting God and as we're leaning on his wisdom and his understanding, not ours, his, and as we follow him, he says, he'll direct our path. He'll lead us exactly what where he wants us to be, what he wants us to do. Again, it's not direct my path. Notice, what does he say? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God's going to give you the path that you need to be on. It's not saying, okay, here's the direction I want to go, God. Now you make it work. No, no, no. It's as I follow God and I yield to God, God is going to show me the path that I need to take. God's going to be directing me where he wants me to go, how he wants me to live. And the more that I yield to him, the more I trust him, the more I follow him, in wisdom, God says he'll direct us even more and more and more. You say, what's going to happen 20 years from now? I don't know, but I can tell you this. If you'll trust God today and trust him today and trust him tomorrow, lean on him 20 years from now, I guarantee you, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be farther down the road on the path that he wants you to be as you've trusted him. May not be where you thought you'd end up. Believe me, I never thought I'd be here. But as God kept directing and you kept leaning on God, trusting God, God's got it figured out and he knows exactly the direction he wants you to take. But the question is, which one of these notable characters are we gonna be? We're gonna be a fool? We're gonna be a scorner? We're gonna be simple? Or are we gonna choose to listen to God and let him help us to make wise choices and wise decisions in how we live our life today? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, your word is just so, it's so deep, it's so rich. And Lord, just even to give a snapshot as we've done in many of these books is just, Lord, it's really not adequate, it's not sufficient. But Lord, just help us to grasp some of the truths that we have in your word. We need your wisdom, Lord. We don't. I believe this with all of my heart, with our church and people here. I don't think that there would be anyone here tonight that would simply say, I want to be a fool. I want to be a scorner. I want to be simple. I think as much as within me is, would say that every person here would say, I want to be wise. But are we willing to listen to you? Are we willing to trust you? Are we willing to follow you to be wise? Or are we going to simply say, no, I don't need God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not going to listen to what God says. And we end up being that fool, that scorner, that simple one who just turns away from the wisdom that God has given to us in his word. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us truly. Lord, as we look at the book of Proverbs to recognize it's not just a book of just sayings. Lord, this is your wisdom. You're trying to help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, and you've given us your truth in your word here. So Father, would you help us with this? Just for a moment, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment, not even gonna ask the piano to play, but I wonder, in these four characters, which one would you say you are tonight? I hope you're not the scorner, just doesn't care anything about the things of God. I hope you're not the simple one that just believes anything and everything. I hope you're not the fool that doesn't even want to know. I hope tonight that you would desire to say, I want to be the wise man. I want to be a wise person. I want to listen to what God says, and I want to follow him and trust him. And maybe tonight, for a moment, and right there in your seat, you say, Lord, would you help me to be that wise person? I don't want to be a scorner. I don't want to be the simple one. I don't want to be a fool. Lord, I'm just going to trust you and I'm going to lean upon you and your understanding, not my own. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So God, I'm going to look to you. Teenagers, you can be wise. Young adults, you can be wise. Parents and grandparents, you can be wise when we follow what God says. Lord, help us with this. We need wise Christians. Lord, in the midst of a very wicked and perverse world, help us to be wise in how we live. Lord, that you would receive the glory through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.